Welcome to the Valiant Central Podcast. It's a show that we do sometimes about Valiant Comics and sometimes about other things. I'm Martin. Duan's here. Travis is here. Let's party.
Let's do it.
You guys are just getting home from work?
No, you hear the bonfire out there?
You were having a bonfire?
Yeah, the fireworks are going off, man. Our power's out here, so the people are shooting fireworks. And I don't know if it's gunfire or fireworks.
It is Ohio. Might be gunfire.
Yeah, take it. Just like Missouri.
That's very true. I'm surprised we don't have fireworks yet. Actually, there were some last night. My dogs are freaking out.
Okay, so can we talk about that for a second?
Talk whatever you want.
Okay, so the last couple of days, I've been seeing these commercials about these thunder vests for dogs.
Oh.
So, like, they're like comfort vests, so when there's like thunderstorms or fireworks. And by you saying that, just made me put two and two together. They're probably like, oh, the 4th of July is coming up, and dogs don't like fireworks, so we'll start promoting these thunder vests. And they're just like sweater vests for dogs, but I guess they promote them like they swaddle the dog. Like, you know, like a baby, you swaddle them.
Yep.
So like a dog, they feel like they're swaddled. So I guess it's just one of those ideas.
I think they're weighted, too.
Yeah, they're weighted.
Something about it is calming, the sensation.
Ooh.
Yeah, my wife puts t-shirts on the dogs when it's like thunder and lightning outside. That doesn't work.
Never does.
What does that have to do with Valiant, you might be thinking to yourself? Well,
because Valiant needs thunder vest.
Valiant needs a thunder vest.
Episode title.
Yes, indeed. I meant to reply to Greg's tweet. Shout out to Greg one more time. He appreciated our last shout out. I guess Valiant wants to redo their newsletter, which I think is a good idea. And I meant to reply. Did you guys reply to that at all?
No.
I was talking to Greg, and I actually said maybe we'd discuss it on this episode. So if you want to brainstorm on that, we could talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because, I mean, the newsletter's been around for a while. I don't know if you guys subscribe to it or not.
Yeah, I subscribe.
I used to subscribe to it, but I unsubscribed because we get the press emails. So a lot of times I was getting like the same information twice, you know what I mean? But I think there is a way to get me back into the newsletter, and that would be to add stuff that you normally wouldn't get from a newsletter. Cause I think a lot of times the newsletters are just like marketing BS. And, listen, Greg, you do marketing over there. I'm not going to demean your job, but I think a lot of times the marketing stuff is more tailored towards like outlets, like news outlets or comic book shops and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And I think fans, in particular Valiant fans, want more out of that kind of information than just like, hey, here's the books coming out this week, or like, here's the solicitations. And I didn't look to see what replies were put on there, but Travis, I'm curious if you had some ideas on this.
Yeah, I got some ideas. So, I mean, like, first and foremost, I think, as far as like what would get attention is like putting teasers or clues like in the newsletter, being like, what's this image? You know, like, what's this cryptic thing? And like, and having that point to something that's not been announced yet, or, you know, like, something that gets people engaged in talking about it.
Yeah.
And that's tough to do, obviously. To do that effectively without giving stuff away.
Well, is it though? Because, I think I put it in our chat, right? That I know I shared it with Duan for sure. That one picture, I had a conversation with Greg about it afterwards, and he was, very quiet about it. He just sent me a smiley face. Because I had a guess. But there was a teaser that came out this past week. I don't know if it was a new book or what. But to me, it looked like a particular character. So I was like, oh, I can't wait for this character to have her own book. And I just got a smiley face. But, you know, like, stuff like that I think would be cool within a fan newsletter. So I don't think it's necessarily hard to do, right? Because, I mean, you could just send out that teaser and get people talking about it.
Yeah, or, like, maybe just, like, you know, you could, like, take panels and redact stuff. Or, you know, like, I don't know, like, just kind of spitballing, you know, like, you know, I don't know. Get people to, like, show up to that thinking that they're going to have, like, an idea of what's coming. They're, you know, like, they're going to get a leg up and get to, like, theorize.
Yeah. See, so here's what I think. I think this is actually not related to Valiant. Well, I mean, it isn't directly. But I think the comic industry has a problem. And it's not just comics. It's every industry that does this. Tech does this. Movies, TV, everybody does it. You always find, like, certain outlets that get the chance to put out certain information. And I think, to a point, people are maybe getting a little tired of that. And I don't know if you guys saw the stuff that's going on with The Walking Dead right now. Did you guys see this?
No.
All right. So, spoiler alert.
I saw Kirkman was talking about, like, oh, big issue coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, spoiler alert, The Walking Dead ends tomorrow.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes.
Oh. So close to issue 200?
The Walking Dead is ending with issue 193, which comes out tomorrow, Wednesday. By the time you hear this, it'll be yesterday, Wednesday. So The Walking Dead ends. Final issue is tomorrow, as of the time of this recording. And I know that people were aghast, I guess, last month, because last month they killed Rick Grimes, and now this month the book is ending. And, I mean, they played it out really good. You know what I mean? Like, the book was solicited. 194 and 195 were solicited for August and September. Apparently the solicits were BS because the book ends tomorrow. So the solicit for 193 was fake also. And the way that it came out was through some, like, exclusive article and that you know, had a chance to talk about this and posted the letter that Kirkman wrote in the final issue of Walking Dead, I believe in its entirety. And a lot of people were really pissed off because they've been following this book for a long time and they find out that it ends the day before it comes out. And, you know, that's maybe a little bit of an extreme example, but I think this kind of stuff happens all the time with all sorts of industries. And I understand, like, there's certain outlets that are followed by a lot of people, and that's how you get buzz, maybe. But I think there is a better way to do these kind of things. You know, like, Bleeding Cool always gets a lot of crap, right? Especially when Rich was the guy in charge over there. He's still there, but he's not in charge anymore. But Rich always finds, like, you know, people talk to him drunk at a bar and he, like, posts an article the next day about it, right? Or he'll do some, like, rumor mongering thing, to kind of stir the pot. And a lot of times it comes true. Sometimes it doesn't. But I think to some extent, people don't really want that. I think maybe if you're a casual comic fan, maybe that's something that you enjoy. But I think for hardcore readers of comics, you don't want that kind of thing. And I think that Valiant could do better in that respect because of the history of Valiant, right? We always talk about Valiant fans are a different kind of fan, right? We all know this. I mean, Travis, you know this very well with your other podcast, right, with VCR. Valiant fans are very different from other publishers' fans. And I think as a result, we could do things differently. And by we, I don't mean we like us. I mean we like Valiant. I'm using a royal we. Could do things differently in order to share information. Because I think if you really treat the fans a certain way and include them into what you're doing, that really itself is the best sort of marketing, right? You don't need a site like Hollywood Reporter. Like, why does... I think Marvel does that, right? Marvel puts everything out on Hollywood Reporter. Aftershock does everything on Hollywood Reporter. Like, who is that benefiting, right? That you don't have comic fans reading Hollywood Reporter. You might go read it if, like, you know, a particular publisher is like, hey, we have an announcement. Here's the link. And it's on Hollywood Reporter. But, like, outside of that, why would you read that website? You know what I mean? Or, like, Variety. To me, that sends the wrong image in some respects, because I think that shows me that you're more interested in putting it out on a news outlet that's more directed towards, say, like a movie investor or a TV show investor than to a comic fan. I think the best way to direct it to a comic fan is to a comic fan itself. And a newsletter could be a really good way to do it.
So this is like a newsletter that would come out weekly or like monthly?
Well, they've always been weekly. And I think the plan is to continue it to be that way. But you know, Greg and the department over there, the marketing department of Valiant, wants to do to try things differently. They want input from the fans on the kind of things that they want done.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple ways you can do it. Like, you can have one corner of the newsletter to be kind of personal, like, we hired a new intern, Joe Schmo, blah, 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 this is what he or she does, or somebody had a baby, and then you can have, like, the real interesting stuff, like the image that you were talking about that came out this week, you know, that could lead to something in the future that can add to the curiosity of our fan base, you know, because you want to intrigue the current fan base, but also maybe grab one or two or 10 or 100 more.
Yeah, sure.
New people. You know what I'm saying? So I say that because you kind of want to make it personal, like Valiant's personal, and introduce the people in the office, like who are doing the behind the scenes stuff, so that we can become acquainted with them, on like a monthly or weekly basis, but also then you can bring out your nice teasers. So I think it'd be a good idea.
I think that'd be kind of cool, actually, to see pictures of like the office, right? Like, what are they doing at the office? Because obviously, mm-hmm. not everybody's working at the office, right? This is not Marvel in the 80s. Right. But there's people at the office. So, like, what are those people doing? What do they look like? Because a lot of those people you're not going to see at a convention, for example.
Right.
Dude. Yeah. You guys stole my idea that I was going to say that, like, if you guys think back to the original, you know, like, OG Valiant in the 90s, every single issue had, you know, like a thing where it was from the editors, right? And yeah. Each of them had a profile of a specific employee, you yep. know, and maybe they were an artist or a creator, but, you know, maybe they worked in some other area of the company, you know, and like, you know, it's not like rocket science stuff. Generally, it's just like straightforward questions. Who are you? What do you do? Like, and then some kind of like questions about what you like or, you know, whatever, your personal stuff. And given how many new faces there are at Valiant, you know, like over the last couple of years and seemingly all the time, like it'd be nice to get to know them, you know, like the old regime, we knew everybody, and you know, like I don't know, I think it would be reassuring to people to get to know people and develop a relationship with everybody, like, so that you can try to build that again.
I agree. I was talking to Nick about this on Nerdy Legion, I think last week's episode, kind of what I do when I go to a convention, and I never kick off a conversation with like, I love your book, because guess what, everybody says I love your book. Right? If you're going to a booth to talk to somebody, it's not because you hate their book, right? Like, you go there because you want to meet them, you want to talk to them about the book, you're excited, maybe you want to get something signed, whatever, buy something from them. And that might be fine, and there's a lot of people that are running booths that maybe that's just the mentality that they have, like, I want to sell my stuff, so let me go with this. But don't you find it more interesting when, like, you go to a booth and you say, like, I would never say this, but let's just say boxes of briefs, right? Like, what's this person interested in aside from comics, right? Because, like, we love comics. We buy a bunch of comics. These people make comics. But surely, like, they don't just want to talk about comics, right? Like, when you get home, do you guys talk to your wives about work for the rest of the night? Nope. When you have a day off, do you just talk to your wife about work all day? Of course not. And I think maybe these people want to hear something else. So I think, yeah, you're right, Travis. I think it'd be cool to get a little more personalization out of a newsletter, where you get, you know, like eggs, sunny side up or scrambled, you know, like something stupid like that. I think those kind of things would be interesting, just to get to know people a little bit better. Because we often talk about, like, when, you know, Dinesh and Hunter and everybody else was there, like, those guys were very personable, and at conventions you can talk to them about whatever, right? And this is not just, like, for us that had relationships with them for years, but just anybody, right? You can talk to them about scrambled eggs for an hour, and they'd probably be cool with that. I mean, obviously they want you to buy something at the booth, but, like, they'd be cool with that.
Yeah, you do that, because I saw you did that with... There was a female creator when we were in Chicago.
Oh, with Erica?
Yeah.
I love Erica Schultz. She's the best. Valiant, you should get Erica Schultz to write for you.
Yeah, so you do that, and it does change the conversation. And really with Erica, she really opened up a lot about herself and, you know, what it took for her to write the certain book that we were talking about. So, yeah, that does make an impact. You know, it's different, you know, but, you know, it's like leading with, do you smoke weed, you know? You know, it's just...
Well, you got to be holding if you're gonna lead with that, dude.
Oh, see, I don't know. I'm not a veteran. I don't know. But other people have to help me out with that, so...
Seems like, if the answer is yes, then the logical follow-up is like, do you have some?
Right.
That's right.
Can you share? You know, do I need to take a break from my booth?
I mean, it depends what security's like, right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's like when, remember when Rafer was doing A&A, you know, I think a lot of fans gave Rafer some flack because they wanted what Fred Valenti was doing, and that's not what Rafer was doing. And I'm proud to say we kicked off the when you were at a convention, give Rafer some Snickers bars. I don't know if anybody still does that, but we started that. You know, it was a local con here. I found out that Rafer likes Snickers bars from, I think, Adam Alamo, and so at the local convention I saw him and I brought him two Snickers bars. Never met him before, never talked to him before. But I brought him two Snickers bars, and he was so thankful because he was starving. Because you got to remember, they can't. A lot of times, if you're busy, you're not going to leave your booth, right? And maybe if you're not busy, you're not going to leave your booth because you want to sell your stuff. And he was starving, so he appreciated the fact that I brought him a Snickers bar.
Is Adam Alamo still alive?
Yeah, he's still around.
I don't talk to him anymore.
I don't talk to him either. I love you, once in a while on Twitter.
He's cool, dude.
He is a cool dude. He's a cool dude. I was a little sad that he wasn't at C2E2 this year because we had a lot of fun a couple years ago when he was there.
Oh yeah.
That's when I was opening my my wand bottle with my shoe. If you want an explanation on that, send me a message on Twitter at GeekVine, and I will gladly explain how to open a bottle of wine with a shoe.
There may be a picture of that.
There is a picture of that. I think Ronnie's got a picture of it.
There's a picture of that floating around.
I opened the wine bottle with my shoe on a curb, on a parking lot.
You were so determined.
Hey.
Like, we didn't have a bottle opener, and you were like, I can do this.
Yeah.
You're like MacGyver there.
Oh, man. But,
with my shoe.
Yeah, with the shoe. I mean, you got to use what you got. You know what I mean? You got to use what you got. So I think it could be a good replacement for, like, a letters column. And I know a lot of people that read comics now, a lot of comics at least, have been reading comics for a long time, and there's a lot of nostalgia for a letters column. And I think the newsletter could be a good place to do that kind of thing because, I mean, it's basically free, right? There's no cost to sending a newsletter. It's very negligible. And, you know, if you were to put a letters column in a comic, I mean, there's some cost associated, right? Because you got to add the extra page or two for the letters. Right. And that might be taken away from actual content of the book. But I think a lot of us are still very nostalgic about newsletters. And I think it'd be cool to have it in a weekly newsletter. Because that also gives people that are reading a newsletter something cool to read that maybe they wouldn't find in another newsletter. You know, send your emails or whatever, or like, you know, the 800 Psylords number, right? Whatever messages people are posting on there. I'm sure many of them are stupid. No offense to anyone that has left a stupid message. But I'm sure a lot of them are.
I left one for you.
Oh, did you?
I did. When I called him, I told him, like, Martin Freddy is a Psy Lord. Get him off the streets. I did. No lie, I did.
That's hilarious.
That was my call.
That's hilarious.
But, okay, but on the newsletter, so do you think it should be called a newsletter? Like, you talk about nostalgia. So if you talk about nostalgia, should they name it, like, the Valiant Newsletter? Or should it be another name, like the Valiant Voice or... something else, because to me, a newsletter, I'm like, whatever. But if they named it something else, I may be like, yeah. I'm not even talking about the content, just the name.
Well, you know? The Valiant Newsletter is called the Valiant Voice.
There you go. I'll take that.
It is called the Valiant Voice. But as a result, I would want it to be more like the Valiant Voice. You know what I mean? And you guys mentioned some of the stuff that the Valiant Voice used to be. You can make it more of that again. You can make it more of that again. I think, you know, picking two or three questions just to throw in there for extra content, could be interesting. And I don't know, like, what the logistics would be on, say, having a creator do it. Because a lot of times I would say the editorial staff would be answering the questions, right? But don't you think it'd be cool, like, if something happens in, like, Punk Mambo, if Cullen Bunn replies, right? Or, like, you had a question about Life and Times of Toya Harada, and, like, Josh Dysart gives you a breakdown of that. Like,
if it was in video, it'd be great. Instead of just written format, video would be awesome.
And, I mean, you could do video in a newsletter, right? Because you can just add a link to it, and it would show up in the newsletter. You can watch it directly from there. So you can definitely do video. I think logistically that might be a little more difficult to do, to have that creator find the time to record a video. You know what I mean? That's why I just said, like, a written reply. But that could be interesting. Again, most newsletters, when you get replies, you're not getting them from creators. You're getting them from editorial staff. And it's cool to have maybe a little something more personable through that kind of thing. I think fan letters would be great in a newsletter. Because then, as a fan, if you're subscribing this to get news from Valiant, imagine, like, seeing your letter in the newsletter, right? Like, I don't know if you guys ever wrote letters to comics. I never personally did. But I do know a couple people that have. And they were super excited when their letters were published. You know, I've seen, like, creators, when they were kids, write a letter to a comic. And then, you know, 20 years later, when they're writing comics, they reference that letter.
The best ones were when they tell – were kind of the negative ones where they say, you stink, blah, 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 blah. I think I just heard this on another podcast. But then they would come back and they would address, you know, the writer's concern and just say, hey, blah, 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 blah. Like, maybe you need to hang on for a few more issues.
Yeah.
You know, you're – your concerns would be kind of blah, 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 whatever. But it was cool because it was bold. You know, it wasn't just all fluff. It wasn't all like, you're great, we love you, blah, 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 blah. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to agree with you guys. Like, I think that could be a really great tool for, like, building engagement with people, you know? Like, that is something that was really one of the best things about, like, Dinesh and Company, right, is they were so accessible. You could tweet at them and hear back from them, you know, like, they were there to meet you at all the conventions, you know, like, so, you know, engagement really, I think, pays off when you look at, like, long-term loyalty towards the brand, you know, like, I think we would all agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, so, like, that can be an avenue towards hearing from the fans, you know, and kind of, like, to your point about, you know, like, but, you know, what if, like, the fans are trying to say something negative, you know? And I do think that that's, like, an excellent point is, like, you know, it does, you know, give people, you know, the chance to feel heard and then gives you a chance to respond, like, when that is the case. And, you know, I was talking to Greg yesterday. And we were talking about that, you know, very concept. And, you know, again, shout out to Greg. Like, he is freaking awesome. And like, you know, he was just talking about like how important it is to know, like, honestly what people feel, you know, because mm-hmm. they want to be the best they can be. And the only way they can do that is for us to tell them what we honestly think, you know? So like, that's all, like, that's what you could get from opening that avenue, you know, and incorporating in the newsletter.
Let me add honestly and respectfully.
Yeah, respectfully, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you don't want somebody to be like, hey guys, Sidelords was a piece of crap. Why aren't you doing this? Or why didn't you guys do the book that was originally planned? Or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I know, Duan, you pointed out that tweet from Dinesh a couple days ago. And there were people asking about the Sidelords book. And, you know, he mentioned very offhandedly kind of what they had planned. Obviously, he didn't go into depth because the book never came out and never will come out. But people were kind of jumping onto that. And sometimes that reaction may not be the best, right? So that's why I add the respectfully part. Because if you want honest engagement from a publisher that you really enjoy or a creator that you really enjoy, the best way to do that is not to be like, hey, your book sucks. It's to be like, hey, I read the book. I would have wanted this instead. You know what I mean? Like, when you phrase your comments in a certain way that allow for some kind of engagement, I think you get a better response as a result. Whereas if you just say, hey, the book sucks, then guess what? You're not getting a reply. And you're probably going to get blocked.
I was going to say constructive, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, this sucks, like, doesn't really give anybody much to work with, mm-hmm. you know, but like here are some specific, you know, like, whatever, feedback, criticism, you know, like that's something that you can work with.
And it goes both ways on the other side too. For people, you don't want to, you know, that people that love Valiant, you don't want to just suck up either. It's like, everything you're doing is great, blah, 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 blah. You want to provide some kind of context to it. Like, it's growing. I like this book because of X, Y, and Z, and I see where you're trying to connect the dots here.
Yeah.
You just don't want to just, you know, be a total suck up and say, oh, Valiant's great, you know, hopefully you send me some free crap because I'm sucking up to you. That means nothing. You know, you don't want to fill a newsletter up with that. I mean, it's garbage. You don't want to fill your newsletter up with a bunch of people that hate Valiant for no reason. They just say, this is not my XO. This sucks. Well, I'm taking you off my pull list, blah, 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 blah. That means nothing.
Well, when we had the letters columns, that wasn't the case either, right? Like, sometimes you would get stuff that wasn't overly positive because you kind of have to. I mean, if you don't acknowledge that kind of stuff, then you're not being realistic, right? Not every book is perfect, right? You put out the best book that you think you can put out, and then you hope the reaction is good. And, you know, you can do the same thing with a newsletter. I'm looking over some of the comments now from Greg's post. I think there's some interesting recommendations on here. I think Dallow's got the best one because that's the one that we just talked about. Questions from fans to editorial, and not just easy ones, but questions that the fans really want to know. That's kind of like a new, you know, the letters column. Put that stuff in there. Dallow's a listener, so shout out to Dallow.
You there? What happened?
I'm here.
I think I heard maybe had a connection issue. But yeah, that's what you want in a newsletter column. But I think if you put some video in there, you make it personal to the staff so people can know the staff. You can have some supportive stuff, some maybe critical stuff. It'll be good.
Yep.
And maybe a suggestion section. You know, people would say, wouldn't it be cool if you took – you know, everybody wants to do hypotheticals or your top 10 favorite, you know, team ups, or, you know, everybody likes to rank things. That'd be cool. They do it in sports a lot on ESPN. You'll see, like, what's the top 10 duos ever in this sport.
Right,
blah, blah,
right.
Blah. You get into these discussions. That may be something you can bring into your newsletter also.
Is there a way to do that on a newsletter from a publisher that isn't just like a hype machine kind of thing?
You might have to do it like digitally, like a Twitter post or something, like a Twitter poll or something like that, and then include it in the next month's newsletter.
Oh, see, I do like that because they do polls every once in a while. I know there was a poll, I think today, about like how do you store your comics, something like that. And to have the results of those polls show up, just like put an image of the results in the newsletter. That might be interesting.
Right.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
And have some commentary about it, right?
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything major either, right? You can just do like a paragraph or two.
Right.
I think when it comes to that and the newsletter and all that, I do wonder if it becomes maybe too much for a newsletter, right? I mean, I guess it depends how you want to use it. The newsletters that I've seen from most publishers are very simple, right? It's like a piece of news or two, and like, here's this week's books with a cover image or some preview art or whatever, and like, have a good day. But I do subscribe to some newsletters that are interesting. Like a couple tech folks that I subscribe to. There's one that does like, just like a full blown article on like a particular topic in tech. And, you know, like they have a blog or a podcast, but like this is an exclusive piece of content for the newsletter. Or there's one that does like, what does he do? There's like three cool books that I'm reading, or like, here's this piece of tech that I tried out and why I think it's cool. You know, things like that. I think if you ever look at Cullen Bunn's newsletter, I think Cullen Bunn does a pretty good job. And, especially if you do like his Patreon, which I do his Patreon as well. He posts extra stuff as well. He posts like, scripts on there. He does like original stories just for the Patreon newsletter. And I think those kind of things help a little bit with engagement, right? Cause you're getting content that you don't normally see anywhere else. And I think to make it successful, maybe that's the key, right? Put content out that you're not going to find on the Valiant website, or you're not going to find if you go to Newsarama or CBR or any of those websites. Cause I'll be honest, I don't like going to comic book news websites because they're all clickbait.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's not fun. And I think it'd be more interesting to get that kind of information directly from a publisher than to have to go to a third party that is just trying to generate, click revenue through ads. I understand that there's a purpose to it, so don't get me wrong, but to me, I'm just not interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like we just need to do a daily video, you know, segment on Valiant, you know, present the new news, and make that our newsletter.
The Valiant Central newsletter.
Oh, good lord.
Valiant Central newsletter, and do it ourselves. And Valiant can give us stuff that they suggest that we put on it, and we may take it into consideration and just think, get it. We're just going to do our own thing.
Sure. Hey, I'd be happy to contribute to a newsletter, you know? It's not like I haven't done shit for free before that took me hours on end. You know, like when I was doing the Valiant database, for example, I was spending 20 hours a month on that thing.
I missed that thing, man. I bought some SpaghettiOs and stuff the day, and I'm like, I just want to load it in the Valiant database. I can't do it. So,
maybe soon. Maybe soon. I'm taking this month of a podcasting, so maybe I'll see if I can make some time for it.
It's all good, man.
It's possible. It's a lot of work, right? Especially if you're compiling stuff yourself, right? It's not like I was getting all this shit to upload from Valiant. I had to go to solicits and fill out spreadsheets and upload the spreadsheets and all that stuff. So,
you needed an intern.
Yes, I needed an intern. Well,
look at me.
I requested help. Everyone's like, "Hey, why isn't it up to date?" And I'm like, "Hey, if you want to help me, by all means." Guess what the response was? "Oh, I don't have time." Holy, okay. So don't complain about it. But that kind of thing would be cool.
Yeah.
Yo, but here's $1 a month for Patreon. You know, you ungrateful bee.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks to the 20 people that gave me $1 a month so I could pay for hosting. Out of the 2,000 people using the website.
Oh, we loved it. We loved those.
I know. I'm not complaining. Let's get back to the topic at hand.
Hey.
All right, so I had an idea.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Like, along the lines of what we were kind of already talking about in several different instances, but, like, you know, it almost feels like maybe reaching back either to, like, things from Wizard Magazine or, like, things from Old School Valiant when they would have, like, the gold winners, you know, like, where you just have kind of, like, some kind of content from fans, you know, like, an art contest, a cosplay contest, you know, like, some kind of thing that, like, lets fans, like, send in something to be recognized and then give them a gold or something, you know?
Yeah, I did see in the comments that some people suggested the Fan Art Fridays, for example. And I think that's fine to an extent, but I've seen some of the Fan Art Fridays, and, you know, there's people that are not, we'll just say, artistically inclined that submit to that.
It can be curated.
Sure.
Or they can take pictures of, like, at cons when people come up and they get gold books and they can take pictures so those fans can be recognized, you know, and it's nothing, you know. They just, like, hey, they showed up with their Ryan shirt on. We took a picture. Here's our highlights from Emerald City Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you feel special, like, oh, I made it. I made the newsletter.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. This is a suggestion on here about basically, like, fan-created stuff. I guess highlights from, like, Valiant Comic fans and stuff from podcasts and things like that. I think that's kind of curious. I would actually expand that beyond just immediate fandom into, like, comic shops. Because I think it'd be interesting to, like, highlight different comic shops that really support Valiant.
Ooh, yeah, that would be good for me because, you know, as a collector, there's a couple shops that really helped me out. And I would really love to get back and give them exposure and say, hey, these are really good supporters of Valiant and they support, you know, fans of Valiant. You know, maybe you should go look at X and X comic shop. That's a great idea.
See, and you can do that through fan engagement, right? So if you have a couple of shops that you like to deal with because they can get you certain Valiant things that other shops can't, then you can bring those up and those could be highlighted on the newsletter.
I like it. Retailer's Corner, or yeah,
there you go.
I don't know what they call it. I'm not really creative. Sorry. I'm just not
yeah, but guy. Duan, what though if your favorite comic shop in Arizona that gets all the Chase covers, like what if some fan there finds it and now you gotta compete with them?
Well, hopefully you build enough relationship with them that they'll put you first on the list and then,
yeah, there you go.
You know, but you know, then that would incentivize them. So say if somebody else, like if it was another me or somebody new coming in that wanted to Chase variants, then that shop may order more Valiant books to get the Chase variants to satisfy that customer. You know, because we talked about this before, you basically, when you're trying to buy the glass covers or the metal covers, you're basically covering for a significant portion of that shop's order to get that cover, right? So the shop may say, well, we'll get our money back, and if we can sell a few books off of this, we'll do it. And if not, maybe Valiant will take these books back or whatnot. It's not a really big loss to us, and we just gain a new customer, you know, for no money or just for a nice little profit.
Well, and I think if you help a shop in that way, then they can up their orders, right?
That's so, what I'm like, saying, yeah.
If Duan suggests the shop in Arizona – and now 50 Valiant fans are ordering from this guy, then guess what? He's not going to just continue buying the same amount. He's going to buy 50 times more.
Right.
Right? He's not going to buy just for Duan. He's going to buy for everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's good business.
And it's a lady I buy from. Just not a guy. Mm.
I hear you. Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
No, not like that. Not at all. At all. But yeah, that's a good point. Like I said, they'll buy more books to get more of the Chase books because they have more people that want, you know, those kind of hard to find books.
Yeah. See, I'm still just so confused by just how terrible the ordering is for comics. I hope they fix it at some point. Just like the fact that, like, for example, if I go to a shop and I'm like, hey, I want you to get me all the Valiant books. Okay. And then next month I go and I'm like, I said all the Valiant books, but I'm not into Faith, so I don't want the Faith book. Or like, I'm not into, I don't fucking know, it's something else. And now, like, guess what? They bought it, but I'm not getting it, even though I said it. The fact that, like, they don't make me pay for that ahead of time is just preposterous to me.
But they're buying it at such a discount. So
sure.
I mean, the comic industry is hard. It's kind of like the bar business, you know. And Martin, you probably know this more than anybody. Like,
I ran a bar for a while, yeah.
Exactly. So the margins are kind of tight at some point, but there's a lot of shrink. So it seems like with the comic industry, they're buying a book for X amount, but they could sell it to a pool customer for this plus a discount, you know, $3.99 plus a discount. And they're still making money off of it.
Sure.
So even if you don't want the Faith cover and you're just ordering it in advance, I mean, I guess the question would be how many people have pull lists that default on their pull list? That's where you're going to get hurt at.
Well, I think there's a lot. I know there was a shop that closed recently near Ronnie in Missouri that was kind of the problem, where people were getting huge amounts on their orders and not actually picking all those books up.
No, if it's on your pull list, you got to pay for that.
Well, there's nothing saying that right now. You see what I mean?
Yeah. Well, see, like, how hard is it to just take a credit card and be like, cool, we're pre-ordering this for you special? Like, cool. Like, we're going to charge your card if you don't come in for the books. That's easily done.
Sure.
My shop is, if you don't come in within 30 days, you're a wrap. So back in the day, like when I was in college, like I would go like 3 months and the shop I was going to would have 3 months of my books and they would be kind of ticked off at me, but I'd always come back and they knew I'd come back and get it. But nowadays, like my shop now, 30 days, you don't come in, nope, it's a wrap because you can't absorb those losses. People that won't come in for 2 or 3 months. Or order books and then say, I'm not going to pay for it. No, you need to pay for those books, period. You know, you don't have to get that book going forward, but the book that you ordered, you have to get that. That's your response. You put it on your list, that's what we're ordering, you pay for it.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people that don't do that.
That's a shame.
It is a shame. But the thing is, a lot of shops don't even have like a good system to track the stuff. Like, I know that there's plenty of shops that have no, like, inventory tracking system.
So you say this is like, it's just the honor method? Just,
yeah.
See, that's bad. You gotta run it like a business. You have to run it like a business. You can't do it. You can't do that. You know, somebody doesn't pick up for a month, you're done. If you want to continue your pull list, we need to, like Travis said, we need to charge your card ahead of time. And then you get your books. If not, then you just can't have a pull list, period.
I agree. But highlighting those in a newsletter, that could be worth it. That could be worth it. I know we talked to one shop at C2E2, and they're very willing to get whatever you needed. Matter of fact, said comic shop has a mail order business.
Mail order bright?
Oh, that's Lord.
A lucrative business.
Oh Lord. No.
Okay. I'm sorry, my mind.
Yes. But you know, like you have places like DCBS, for example. You know, the bulk of their business comes from the mail order beside. Because it just allows you to reach a much larger user base, right? And they have a physical comic shop, but
Since they moved? They used to in Indiana, but do they now?
They still do, but they're not. They're no longer related because I think the owners got divorced, and the wife kept the physical shop, and the husband runs DCBS.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because they would shut down like on what, Tuesday or Wednesday?
Yeah.
When they were in Indianapolis or where? Was it Fort Wayne or it was Indianapolis?
Yeah, it was in Indiana somewhere. I can't remember. I think they had two locations, two or three locations.
Yeah, they would shut down for a day just to process their online, you know, DCBS orders.
Yep. Yeah, they're two separate businesses now.
Interesting. Hey guys, did you guys see the email, you know, we talked about before where they had the whole Valiant digital catalog from 2012 to end of December of 18. Did you see they're going back and doing OG Valiant? Same thing?
Really?
I think I got the email today or yesterday for $75. They'll send you the USB and you can get all the OG Valiant.
What was the website? Do you remember?
Oh, it was a gift. What is it? Give me a second. Keep talking, and then I'll find it.
that was an interesting idea. I know Duan did the collector's edition of the USB key. I ended up not doing the USB key because I had double dipped on all my books. So I had the physical copies and the digitals for the most part. So I decided not to do it. But the key was a cool idea, and it wasn't that expensive either. Because you were getting like 600 bucks for, I think the regular one was like $50 and the collector's edition was like 80.
Yeah, I think 90.
Yeah.
For the collectors is 60 something for the regular. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so here's the question about the new key is, does it include the titles that are not available on Comixology?
That's a good question.
Like, specifically, you know, Gold Key 3. Solar Magnus Turok, and also like certain Unity issues, for instance, weren't available.
I think one of the Harbinger ones, right? Like Harbinger 2 or 3? Because I think Solar's in that one.
No, I mean like anything that those characters do a cameo in another book, like a crossover, those are fine as long as they're not as the trademark is some other book. So it's only the ones that are actually published as Solar, Magnus, and Turok. And for some reason, like some of the Unity, I think like Unity Red, or the event books that weren't the other, like the individual series, those are also not on Comixology.
Oh, interesting.
It's called Git Court, G-I-T Court. Is excited to announce a new title in the Valiant Digital Collection Series, Valiant Classic Digital Comic Book Collection, January 1992 to June of 2000. With 695 digital comic books on one 32-gig USB flash drive with DRM secure technology. Pre-sales begin yesterday night. That didn't sound right. Yesterday night, July 1, 2019. Product/release ship date of September 1st, 2019. Our website is gitcorp.com for $75.
Yeah, and there's your answer too, Travis. It's Archer and Armstrong, Bloodshot, Eternal Warrior, Hardcore, Ninjak, Quantum and Woody, Visitor, Shadow Man, Rye, and Exo.
Yeah. All right, so it's not really the whole VH1.
Well, no, but it's the characters that Valiant owns.
As the visitor.
Yeah, but there are other, you know, series that weren't included in that, like Dr. Mirage or Armorines or, you know.
Well, it says, and the rest of the Valiant titles. So my assumption is if Valiant owns the rights, then yes.
Okay.
But I think the Gold Key stuff is owned by DreamWorks right now. Oh, is that Disney? Is DreamWorks owned by Disney? I think so.
No, Universal owns DreamWorks.
Oh, okay. Interesting. See, maybe they should do those movies instead of the Universal Monster movies.
They would only have 2,000 people to watch.
It's not really a shared universe, though. Like, aside from like Valiant in the 90s, the Gold Key stuff was was never really a shared universe.
Sure. But if they own the characters, that's what they would do. Because that's what the MCU did, so that's what everybody else wants to do.
Yeah, but they take place in different times, and, you know, like, you know, it's questionable how the timelines connect, you know, like, I guess you can assume they connect.
Hey, Dynamite tried to make that happen.
Yeah, I read that.
Connecting the timelines. What was that last book called? It had some weird name that had nothing to do with any of the books.
It was called Sovereigns.
Sovereigns, that's right. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, Ray Fox, dude. He's pretty good.
I thought it was fine. I thought when, oh, God. Now, I totally forgot his name. What's the guy that does, I forgot that name, too. Phil Hester. Phil Hester tried to do it before they did Sovereigns. Phil had a story. And apparently the story that ended up coming out in the end was not what he originally intended to write. But the rights holders had him change the story a bit. But he wrote it, and then it was Brent Peoples doing the art.
Yeah. Dude, like, Brent is great, and the art looks great. And, you know, Phil is great. But Dynamite is... Sorry. Like, no offense, Chris. Not good. They cheaped out every time they try to do the Gold Key stuff, you know? Like, they were going to do this big relaunch for Gold Key where they all have, like, these different solo series, and that got canceled almost immediately, mm-hmm. you know? So, like, they have a business model, and that business model is, like, exploit this, you know, IP, and I mean exploit in, like, the dirtiest sense of the word, and then, like, cut and run as soon as it's, like, starting to not pan out.
Sure.
That's terrible.
But I still enjoyed them.
Yeah, but if Disney got Gold Key, you know, like, that's the thing is Universal, whatever, you know, like, they're not gonna care about licensing those characters for comic books or whatever, you know, like, I guess they'll stay with Dynamite probably because they have the license, but they don't really have an interest in making money with those properties.
Sure.
Well, they need to, because those books were really good back in the day, especially the covers.
Why would you buy a property and never use it, though?
Because somebody else bought a property, and that company was bought by another company that was bought by another company that was bought by another company, and now you have this gigantic portfolio of shit, and you're like, what are we going to, like, what's going to make us money, you know?
You never know when that one time you could take this obscure character and it turns into a multi-billion-dollar movie.
Hey, it's happened many a time. Look at Iron Man. See? Iron Man was crap before the MCU.
I'm talking about, like, some, you know, cult classic type stuff.
Yeah. I guess. You guys ever hear the story about the other Valiant? I thought that thing was hilarious. When was it? It was before Dinesh and everybody came around. There's a matter of fact, I have the ash can. The ash can was drawn by Jay Lee. There was a company, and this is part of the reason why it took them so long. They had this whole court battle. Because they had started putting stuff together in like 07 or 08, I think, to relaunch Valiant. And they were in the courts forever. Because there was another company, it wasn't called Valiant Entertainment, it was like Valiant, something Valiant. And it turned out at the end, I mean, all the court documents are all sealed, so this is all kind of conjecture. But apparently it was Dynamite that was doing the stuff with the characters. Like, they put out this ash can as Valiant Comics. I don't know. I guess there's a way to exploit trademarks, and they have always been very good about exploiting expired trademarks. And so that's one of the things that was going on at the time.
Yeah. Well, dude, there is a fantastic OTV episode of this somewhere where they discuss it at length, like maybe even with Nash. I forget, but like. It's very thorough, and like You're exactly right. Basically, like, the trademark lapsed for all those characters, and somebody swooped in and got trademarks. Meanwhile, like, Dinesh & Co. had all the IP. So right. Basically, like, they could have renamed all the characters and gotten different trademarks and been able to start immediately. But instead, they were embroiled for years over a trademark dispute. And the thing about trademarks is you have to exploit them and use them, or else you lose them.
Mm-hmm.
And the Troll Company was sitting on a trademark that they had no IP for. So right. They had to put out what Elvine calls a trash can. Where basically you had all these things that were like just a name of these characters and like no resemblance to the actual characters.
Correct. Correct. I gotta say though, the character designs for the Trinity Angels I really liked in that trash can. The rest of the stuff was just okay.
It's easy to look at.
Yeah. You should look it up, Duan. It's interesting.
Trinity Angels?
This ash can that was put out.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
that, for a completist, I think that qualifies.
Oh, for sure it qualifies.
Oh, you need everything, man, from Wheaties boxes to comic books.
I will say, I own zero Nintendo comics.
Oh, I got some of those.
You know what? I have one. I have one. Which but one? That's it. And I never cared for the Cheezosaurus Rex and none of that stuff.
Which one do you have?
One of the Mario ones.
Yeah, I just went to a shop in an area of town that I never visit, but I was in there and on that side of town because of a baseball game, so I went in there and they just bought a collection and they had some of the pre-superhero Valiant, like the Legend of Zelda and Super Mario, and I ended up picking them up. And I got the SpaghettiO one for $1. It was in a dollar bin, and I'm like, you can't pass it up for $1.
I hear you.
Yeah, so that was my first foray into getting some of the pre-Valiant kind of stuff.
See, I just wanted the actual characters. I don't care about the other stuff. Although I did have like the Armada stuff, I bought those. I love those Magic the Gathering comics. There was another imprint too. There was Armada, and man, I wish I remember. There was the one that Bob had a book in, Bob Hall, like Armed and Dangerous, like those kind of books. Hmm. Those are pretty good.
See, there was like Windhammer or something, right?
Windjammer.
Windjammer?
Yeah, Windjammer.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's all, like, obscure now because it was all creator-owned and nobody cares enough to republish it.
Yep, yep. I like those because that one had Valeria the She-Bat, the Neil Adams book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that was good stuff. It was like creator-owned imprint of Valiant outside of the universe. It's good stuff. I think there's only, like, three books in that imprint.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Some of that stuff... You know what? Some of that stuff you can find for dirt cheap, and then other places will sell it to you at a premium. You're like, really? Like, you don't even know what this is. Sell it to me for like 50 cents or a quarter, and let me go out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Or you can just go to my comic shop and buy it all for like a buck an issue.
There you go.
That's too easy.
Hey.
It's the hunt.
Welcome to the 21st century, bro. The hunt is fine to an extent. Like, the hunt is good if you want, like, a certain grade copy. But if you just want, like, reader copies, don't even bother. Just go to my comic shop or go to eBay and get a lot.
I'll take your advice on that.
Come on, bro.
You're making me a better man. You're making me a better man and buy it. And I appreciate you.
I'm just saying, why waste your time on, you know, books that nobody cared about? You want to spend your time on getting the gems, you know, like a Harbinger 3 or a Solar 10 or something like that.
A Dead Drop 1.
What? Never heard of it.
Something like that.
Never heard of it. I love the art in that book, though. David Gorham is freaking awesome.
Adam Gorham.
Oh, Adam Gorham. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, man.
He's fantastic.
Stuff. He's on Punk Mambo now.
He is.
And if I could throw in as a chestnut... on our last episode of Actor Shock Central podcast, we had Colin Bunn on,
mm-hmm.
author of Punk Mambo.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he's working on a bunch of Valiant books.
Yes. He is. I commented on your Twitter post. Did you see it?
I did see it, yeah.
So
I replied.
Did you? I missed that. I think one of them seems pretty obvious. That's the one that I hinted at.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Bring it on.
All right, DeJuan.
I want to read that book.
just go with this. The guy is writing Punk Mambo. His favorite genre, and I would say what he does his best writing at is horror.
I got a good idea with what it is.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. You want to guess?
Exo Men Award.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to let the cat out the bag.
Yeah, I think that's pretty obvious where that's heading. Mm-hmm. But
but multiple books.
Sure.
Like I think there might be more than just that one.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him write a Unity book. I really enjoyed his run on X-Men, for example.
Oh, Unity Dark, dude.
See? Now we're talking.
Let's finally do that. Shadow Man, Punk Mambo, Dr. Mirage, Jaunty.
Dr. Mirage, yeah.
So I had an idea for a Unity Dark book. Of course, I'm not a comic writer, so I never pitched this. But it was Shadow Man, Punk Mambo, Jaunty, Shannon Wen, and Roku.
Roku.
Master Dark.
Well, I wrote this thing because I hated how Book of Death ended. Actually, I was fine with the way it ended, but I hated how it was tackled after. So the way that I wrote it was that it kicks off with Roku chopping down the Master Dark tree and bringing Master Dark back to life. And then it went from there. But yeah, dude, fucking Unity Dark? God, I would love that. I would love that. Nobody like... So DC does some magic books. Like they have Justice League Dark, for example, which is absolutely fantastic. And I think out of any publisher out there, Valiant is probably the only one that has a good enough core character set to do like a really solid dark team book. You know, like magic and horror elements and stuff like that. I would love that. Unity Dark, bring that on. I think when Paul was still on the podcast, we talked about them doing a Unity Dark while Unity was still going on. I think that'd be fantastic. Bring that on.
We need to put the band back together and do it. I'm serious.
Unity Dark. I know, Travis, you mentioned Baba Yaga. I'm curious if Baba Yaga could carry a book on her own. Maybe.
I mean, just because that's such a rich tradition, that character.
Yeah.
You know, like, Cullen could maybe bring in what I'm sure is probably a deep resource of, like, Baba Yaga knowledge to, like, from existing folklore to bring into the story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if she's not enough, you can build it out into some kind of, like, Red Brigade book. You know, like bring in Pioneer and what's her name?
I don't remember any of their names aside from the two you mentioned.
Costi,
that's right. The Deathless.
I mean, Red Legend seems like a good guy, so I don't know if she like fits in with the rest of them, but
maybe. I like it. I wouldn't mind seeing that. I wouldn't mind seeing. I know that this is probably hard in terms of resources. But just like more of that Stalinverse stuff, I really enjoy that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Like that Archer and Armstrong story, like that hit me in the heart, man. That was awesome.
Yeah. That Bloodshot book, they have to do better with that. I mean, you just never know where you're going with that book right now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we got the new one coming out. You know, I think Tim Seeley's a great writer. And he's pretty good at doing like different stuff. Like he's doing that Dark Red over at Aftershock, which is very different from basically anything he's ever done. And I really enjoy that book. So we'll see. And we got the Brett Booth art I love Brett. I've been following Brett Booth for like 25 years, man. He was the original artist on Stormwatch, the greatest book of all time.
So it took him that long to get that book taken care of?
What?
I'm just joking.
I am curious how long he's going to be on Bloodshot, though, because I know he's been announced for some new for the new Wally West book on DC, I think.
Oh, man. It sounds like long, maybe an arc.
Yeah, maybe an arc and then onto something else. Whatever, I'm excited for it. I love Brett Booth art. I love Brett Booth art. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, different stuff he brought in, though. You know what I mean?
Like what?
I don't know. I mean, we've got kind of the core, right? So, Exo's coming back. Bloodshot's about to restart. Ninjak's kind of in Killers. You know, we got Punk Mambo around. I don't know. Something else. You know, we had Forgotten Queen, which I think is... I enjoy Forgotten Queen. I don't know how everybody else feels about it, but I've enjoyed that quite a bit.
Really good book.
Just
and Killers is really good.
Yeah.
Killers, it just hit me. I love that book. I really do. I can just see it going all kinds of different places that are just really good. It just tickles your fancy.
Yeah, I agree. B. Clay Moore. He's great.
B. Crizzle.
He's the original Hawaiian Dick.
I can't comment.
Yeah, so they got to bring Savage back if B. Clay is writing another thing, right?
I mean, I would hope so.
That was on Dinesh's board. You know, we talked about this tweet.
Yeah.
That him and Warren had, and it was on the board. But I don't know. Will they bring him back or not?
I don't know.
Why is he going to write something else and then not write Savage again?
Sure.
He's a paycheck.
Oh, man. I do think that Valiant is trying to branch out into some new directions. Because I do follow, like, Heather, for example, on Twitter, Heather Antos. And she teases some interesting stuff on there. So I'm curious to see how that ends up working out for the rest of the universe.
Yeah, I bet we get a Penguin character before the end of the year.
Oh, my God. Blood Penguin? Bloodwind?
Bloodwind.
He fights it out with Blood Squirt for Bloodshot's infection.
Beast Brigade, dude.
There you go. Yeah, whatever happened to that? You remember when Matt and Rob were like joking all the time about the Beast Brigade? God,
didn't they have like a dog or a whale with like antennas? There was like a whale, like a dolphin. I mean,
yeah, it was a dolphin.
With
it's called Matt.
Yeah, the dolphin's name was Matt. It stood for like mammalian.
He's telekinetic, dude.
I need to see that stuff, man. You can't tease somebody and not bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see it.
See, that's what we need. An anthology book.
See?
With just like mini stories. And that way you can test out what people are interested in.
No, what we need is a Valiant barbecue. We all sit down. And we just, like, you don't get to eat unless you get the books we want. So now, we need the books we want. Because I want to see dolphins. I'm a dolphin guy. I want to see Matt.
I hear you.
Damn it.
I hear you.
Damn it.
Anything else you guys want to chat about, or should we wrap it up?
No. Love you guys. Appreciate it. We're going to miss you, Martin.
Oh, yeah. Have we talked about that on here? I will not be on the podcast for the next 4 weeks. It'll be the Dewan and Travis show.
Oh, and we're going to have fun things for you.
Oh, we finally get to talk about Martin?
I can't wait to listen. It'll be great.
Martin, you're taking the month off from listening to podcasts too, right?
No, just making them.
Okay, well, take the month off this podcast. And nothing about that.
Oh, it's going to go down.
It will be.
Yeah, we might do a bi-weekly, you know, like they do bi-monthly back in the day.
Hey, you guys do whatever you want to do. I'll be chillaxing.
There you go. Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you. I will. You've been listening to the Valiant Central Podcast with Dewan, Travis, and Martin. You can find us on Twitter at @ClickValiant. @ The Great Magnet, @ Geekvine, and @ Valiant_Central. Thank you for listening. See you on the next one.